short. Tell us, you and your brother got involved here. You purchased the club. Tell us what made you sort of reinvest in the Chicago area where you had spent many years and get involved here at the Flossmoor Country Club.
Well, I have two brothers, so I don't want to throw the other one out. So it's actually myself, my two brothers, and a friend of mine, Matt from New Hampshire. Those are the four principals. So, you know, the opportunity came up, got presented in June. And it's one of those things that took us some time to pursue. And then by October, when we got the paperwork and did our due diligence and submitted a proposal, you know, we were chosen to do it and, you know, closed on the property in March. And sure enough, when COVID hit, we all shook our heads wondering what we had gotten ourselves into. And, you know, as strange things shake out, it probably turned out to be maybe the greatest blessing for a golf business. And, you know, we obviously cut staff dramatically because of the food and beverage operation and serving food outside. But, you know, I almost doubled the membership. As of today, I'm pretty close to 180 members, and we bought the club with 89. So it's been a huge success.
Every once in a while, people buy a golf course and they say, well, it can be a little bit of a fixer-up project, especially if you have a property where people haven't put much money into it in recent years. Tell us a little bit about sort of what you purchased here and how you plan to move forward.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And we did know that that was the case. The club, you know, like any place struggling financially, just didn't have the extra income to do some of the little things and the things you needed to do specifically in the golf course. And the biggest one is drainage, you know, a lot of different agronomic practices that they weren't able to do. So the one thing we did during the shutdown is we did all the drainage projects that we wanted to do in the fall. We did them in the spring. So now, right now, we're actually doing next year's projects. So we did a huge drainage project, and one of the things that my brother, the superintendent, did is we bought some machinery and some products to basically clean out all the broken drains or clogged drains. And what we found is a lot of the drainage was there. It was just clogged. So we opened all that up, replaced what we had to, and our number three hole here, which has always been a disaster, has been one of the driest holes on the golf course. We're almost done with the project on six, doing exactly the same thing. When that's done, we're going to go to the other side of three and then just chip away every year. It'll be one or two holes where we, you know, make sure that everything is working correctly, replace what you have to replace, because, you know, on 177 acres, it never ends.
Well, about 12 years ago, the club made kind of a big splash. They had done a renovation project with well-known Michigan-based architect Ray Hearn. Have you and your brothers, your partners, been in touch with Ray and brought him back to take a look at the work that was done here some years ago and to see if there's anything you might like to change or modify or renovate as you go forward?
Yeah, actually, I spent 8 hours with Ray. I think it was in June. He came out and visited. He's offered all kinds of help on the phone and email, sent me some information, all of his work that he has stored on computers. He sent all that to us. But the biggest thing that we're attacking that he was not allowed to do is the removal of a lot of trees. There are, I would say, another 500 trees that he wanted to take out, and he was stopped by, you know, the so-called tree huggers or committee people. And our winter project is removal of trees on the right side of six, the right side of eight, the left side of nine, and up on number 10 and 14, 15. So, you know, our plan is to open the fairways up, get the grass growing better, and then let the big healthy trees have more time. So anything that's bent, anything that you can get your arms around will be removed eventually. It won't all be done this year, but that's the biggest thing that we're going to do with Ray. As far as architectural changes, nothing dramatic. We think he did a terrific job. We're not tweaking anything. Might, you know, add some space to some bunkers to make it a little more playable for some of the average person. But, you know, we're happy with everything he did, and we're just going to try and improve on it.
Tell us about your membership growth. Some clubs will say, yeah, we've added members, but they've added six different categories of memberships in order to do that. How have you grown the membership plan here?
Well, we actually shrunk the membership categories. I wanted it pretty basic. We have two younger plans. We have 24 to 29 and 30 to 34. 35 to 65 is a primary member. So we do have a senior, which is over 65. That's the bulk of what we're selling. Now, we do have a national membership, which is limited, and a regional second club, which is limited. And that's basically, I don't want to say an invite only, but we're very picky about that group of people. The bulk of people who have joined, of those 90, say, people, are under the age of 35 and all pretty much live in the city. The young kids in the city are looking for an affordable, good golf course. They're not looking for all the ancillary stuff. And that's what we're doing. We're focusing on golf, the golf course, the golf practice facilities. And it's worked out so far so well.
Are there any plans to host tournaments? We've seen some national events, Women's Western and other Illinois PGA and CDGA events over the years. What's your thoughts on hosting some tournaments here in the future?
I have spoke with Brad from the section about hosting the Illinois Open, and I think they're going to consider that down the road. The big issue is whether they go back to one golf course. If they do it on two golf courses, finding the second golf course is, you know, the big question mark. So I did offer that. I have started really brief conversations with the Western Golf Association. I would like to host the Western Amateur down the road. So again, I'm all in favor of doing that. We couldn't host the section championship because there's some restrictions on the golf cart usage and things like that. And we, you know, the big sponsor is Club Car for the national, and you have to be a Club Car facility. But anyway, yeah, no, I'm all for doing a big event, even, you know, Western Junior, I would love to do. So I think somewhere in the next 3 to 4 years, we'll certainly be doing that. And it would be nice to be in a rotation to do something every 3 to 5 years.
Tell us a little bit about the membership that you got. You've grown the membership, and are you seeing a different influx? You've talked about younger members, but what kind of influx of membership are you seeing here?
It's definitely a wide variety as far as backgrounds, where they're working, how they're working. Again, most of them are from the city or western suburbs. We have had a good influx of people on the border of Indiana. Very successful young kids. They're going to be even more successful as they grow their careers. It's been nice because they've been forced to work at home, and a lot of them have come here and worked here and then jump on the golf course at, you know, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. But they're, I would say the biggest group is that they are definitely people focused on golf. The ancillary stuff is just not important to them. They don't want it. They don't want to pay for it. And I think it's been a good niche with us not competing for the same piece of the pie as the surrounding clubs. We're trying to find our own way and focus, you know, specifically just on the golf person.
Your club here has a long history to it. It's been around for a lot of years. A lot of golf properties that go through that, even resorts, they walk the fine line of how do we preserve our history and tradition, but yet make our club attractable to younger people. How much do you plan to do here in terms of preserving this great club's history as you go forward, and also try to do some things that younger folks can appreciate?
No, that's a good question. So one of the things that I was shocked by is the great history that is not on display at the club. So in our pursuits, we have uncovered just an incredible amount of old documents. I have the original 400 deeds that were signed by the first 400 members from the actual Homewood Country Club that I'm somehow trying to figure out how to display and preserve. I have board minutes from all the way from, I think, 1903 through 1933. And some of them, it's interesting, they were talking about Prohibition. They're talking about when they were getting the U.S. Amateur. So again, I think that stuff should be on display and is very cool. So I have a couple documents signed by the president back then when they sold the land. So, you know, that part of it, you know, I love. So we have every intent of not only preserving the old history and the tradition, but educating the people here who have no idea that this club does have a rich tradition. It's kind of been ignored probably for the last 15 years. So I think slowly as you come back here every year, you'll see a little bit more of that, you know, brought out.
Mm-hmm. And finally, if there's anything you would like people to know about Flossmoor and the direction you're going and this club and its memberships, what would you tell them?
I would tell anybody, especially other people that call me or email me, that, you know, the biggest thing here that we bought and that we're preserving is the golf course. The golf course is the asset. I think it's a wonderful place. It's a great test. It's very rewarding. I can tell you that I will put our greens up with any greens in the country any day of the week, and that's what this place is known for. So we're doing everything to preserve that rich tradition of having these great, firm, beautiful, fast greens. And there's 16 of the original 18 greens are still here, which is rare. The other thing that's rare is a turn of the century course is still on the same property. Now, that's also very rare. So that's what I sell. I sell that. I sell a great asset. setting the golf course. And I say this, I say it jokingly, but I'm very serious. I tell people if they're coming here for the Sunday brunch, this is the wrong place for them.